turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, we are going to start a new series called Rhythms of Gratitude. Rhythms of Gratitude. Gratitude is an interesting word. It is something we're grateful for. It's having a feeling or an action of gratefulness towards something. And so we're going to take a look in Philippians chapter 1. You know, I saw something on Facebook the other day. It said, what if the only things you had tomorrow were the things that you thanked God for today? And I thought, man, we'd probably have no food, no clothes, no car. We would be, but it really got me thinking. You know, some stuff on Facebook, you just want to, but that one really got me thinking, especially as we're getting into this series of rhythms of gratitude. We're going to take a look at Philippians, and Paul is writing this book in jail. And I want you to keep that awareness, is he is literally chained to a Roman soldier as he is writing this letter to the Philippians. And this is one of his prison epistles. He writes three others. But this one is called the letter of joy, or the book of joy. Because we don't see any complaints. We don't see any, oh, woe is me. We see gratitude. And I think there's something that you and I can take from as we take a look at the words of Paul, of how to, no matter what our situation is, no matter what our circumstance is, that we can have gratitude even when it's dark around us, even when it looks impossible. Amen? All right, so let's take a look at verse 1. Take a look, verse 1 and 2. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So here is how he starts this letter to the Philippians, understanding that he's in prison. The first point that I want to make this morning is he seems to be having joy in his incarceration. So one thing I really take from Paul is we can have joy, we can have gratitude in all of our circumstances. Paul has gratitude here. But there's a couple things that I really want to pick out for you as we come in here. He says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. He is not using his typical introduction that he normally uses. See, in 1 Corinthians, he says, Paul, an apostle. 2 Corinthians, apostle. Galatians, apostle. Ephesians, apostle. In Romans, he says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. He normally uses this authoritative position that God has given him, but not here. Uniquely, he says, I'm a servant of Christ Jesus. Does it sound like there's a lot of S's? My S's seem really sharp. Can we cut that from the video? I don't know. He's using servants. Servant. He uses this word. And in the Greek, this word is doulos, or bondservant. And so what's interesting for us to understand is he's not using his typical introduction as apostle and authoritative, which might give us some understanding that this is not an authoritative letter, right? Those other ones he's sending to the church for correction. But this one is the letter of joy. He's going to tell them all of the wonderful things that he thinks about them, what God is doing, but he uses bondservant. So he's not using authoritative, but he's using bondservant. And he literally is, right now as he's writing this letter, a bondservant to this Roman soldier. But this sets the context of our letter. You know, in Acts 28:16, we see that he's under house arrest. It says, and when he came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him. And then in Acts 28:30, we understand that he is in a house arrest. So he's connected to a soldier. He's under house arrest. And yet,
here he is going to write this wonderful joy letter. So that makes me start to think, what would you say if you were in prison? If you were under house arrest and connected to somebody, literally by chains, would you be talking joy and peace and grace? Because that's what he mentions, peace and grace to you, to the Christians, to the saints here in Philippi. So that made me start thinking, Chris, what would you say if you were in prison? Well, the first word would be help. The second one is, can you get me, like, can you bring a pie or a cake with like a file in it or something? Like, I'm thinking of ways, like, I would be more focused on my situation of imprisonment than theirs, grace and peace and some of those kind of things. But isn't it interesting that here we see that Paul has positioned himself for gratitude for the church in Philippi, not having any focus on his imprisonment in Rome. Guys, we can have joy in all situations. He says to the saints, he's writing to the Christians in Philippi. This word saints, you know, do you ever feel like you're not a saint? Saints means set apart, right? So he's talking to those that have been set apart. Some people might think, you know, in our current culture, especially with Catholicism, we might think saints of people being super holy, super religious people that get this idea of saints. But let me tell you, in Paul's day, you were either a saint or you were an ain't. You either had Jesus and you were separated from everybody else by the fact that you have declared that Jesus Christ is Lord. You've trusted him. You are a saint if you call on the name of Jesus. And he's writing to them. And then he says, grace and peace to you. Grace and peace, let me tell you, those are the two basic needs that we have in life. Grace and peace. First of all, grace is unmerited favor, meaning that by the grace of God, we are not going to pay for the debt that we have been accumulating our whole life with the sin that we walk in. But by grace, he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Not because I deserve it, not because of anything that I've ever done or could do or earn it. No, it's because of grace, right? He's saying grace to you and peace. You know, last week we talked about Paul says that in the Bible, he says that we have hostility because of our sin, that we face hostility, meaning that our very sin puts us at odds with who God is, his holiness. Well, let me tell you, we have peace in Jesus Christ. And so here he is in prison, shackled, and he's saying to you Christians, to you saints, grace and peace to you. He's focused on them. See, even in a tough circumstance, Paul has a right understanding. Even in a tough situation, he's more concerned with other people around him. He's more concerned with Jesus Christ and what he's doing in the church of Philippi than his situation in Rome. We can have gratitude in every situation or circumstance. But you know, sometimes that's hard. I remember as a junior in high school, I decided I wanted to go to West Point. But I didn't apply to West Point until my senior year of high school. Well, the problem is they only have 2,000 seats at West Point for the incoming freshman class. And when I applied my senior year, I got a letter back that said, hey, we want you, we accept you, but we've already met our quota for this year, so here's what you need to do. You need to go to a school, any school that's accredited, keep a 3.6, and you'll get in the next year. And I thought, shoot, but okay. You know what I'll do? I'll find a college, go to a college, and then I'll go to West Point. But I could already feel like my plans and the things that I wanted to do for my life started unraveling at this point. Well, my dad, seeing the opportunity, and he's listening right now, he said, here's what I'll do, son. There's a Christian college in Cleveland, Tennessee called Lee University. It's where my parents went. He said, look, if you go there, I'll give you a car, I'll give you an apartment, and then you can do whatever you're going to do after that. And I thought, well, that sounds like a sweet deal. Except for two problems existed. That car that he got me, it was a 1986 Buick LeSabre. I actually liked it. But it was stolen the first month I was there. Who wants a 1986 Buick LeSabre? And the second thing, all freshmen had to live in a dorm. So I didn't get an apartment. So now all of a sudden my plans and my things are really starting to unravel. And I did not know the Lord at this time. And I went to this Christian school where they required you had to go to church every, like, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. And you had to scan your card. And I was like, I didn't know much about the Bible, but that sure sounded like the mark of the beast to me. So here I am, my whole life that I had planned out is unraveling, right? Have you ever found yourself in a situation or circumstance where you begin, like, this isn't, Lord, what I wanted. God, this isn't how I planned it. God, this is not what, I'm without a car, I'm having to go to church, and I'm like, oh. Have you ever just found yourself in a situation or circumstance that's like, no, this is not what I want? Well, let me tell you, you can have gratitude in all circumstances. The Lord needed me to go to Cleveland, Tennessee to get into a chapel service because in October of 1998, I trusted the Lord there at that school. I remember I was sitting in the way back. I was sitting in the back because I just wanted to scan my card so I could get out of there. And this guy started talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I'd never really heard of it like that. And next thing I know, it's almost like, it was like, this is going to sound weird, but it's true. It was like an out-of-body experience. Next thing I know, I'm walking to the altar, and I'm looking at myself like, self, what are you doing? And here's what's amazing is sometimes God allows us to go through some valleys so he can make some arrangements and some adjustments in our life. And we need to understand, just like Paul is understanding here, is we need to have gratitude. We may not see it or understand it, but God is working. And in that time, yes, I never actually made it to West Point. Praise God. I had a friend that went the same year I was supposed to go, and he wrote emails, and he was like, Chris, this is a living hell. But what I am very grateful for is the Lord got my attention in that situation, in that circumstance, and he called me to his own. And let me tell you, we need to have gratitude in all situations and circumstances. And Paul has it here. We can have it too. Amen? The next thing is this, is gratitude is a choice. See, Paul is choosing to be grateful even though he is a prisoner. I bet there's a lot of things that Paul thought he could be doing. But he's choosing to be grateful for what God is allowing him to do. Take a look at verse 3 through 5. So even as a prisoner, even as he's stuck under house arrest, he says this, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. You know, it's important to understand, he started this church in Philippi about 11 years. That's hard to say. It's about an 11-year-old church. We just don't know exactly when he wrote this letter exactly. So probably 61, 62. But what we do know is he started the church, and this thing has been a growing church, and he's calling them partners in the gospel. And here he is, a prisoner, saying, I choose to be grateful for you, partners in the gospel. So let's take a look at a few of them. We do have reference to this scripture in Acts 16. There's somebody by the name of Lydia. Acts 16:15 says this, after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. This Lydia would have been a part of the Philippian church. She would have been a wealthy businesswoman who at a prayer meeting came to know the Lord. But that's not all we know in Acts 16. There's also a guy by the name of the Philippian jailer. Remember, Paul and Silas are in prison. And the Philippian jailer, Acts 16:32, says this, and they spoke the word of the Lord to him. This is after the earthquake. This is after the doors and the bars and the prisons, the word I'm trying to find, come falling down or unlock and wide open. And the Philippian jailer is about to pull a sword and kill himself. And they're like, hang tight. We're all here. And that's where it says, and they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all of his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he believed in God. This is that Philippian church that he's talking about. These are the partners in the gospel. We also know in Acts 16, there was a demonic slave girl that got delivered of the demonic oppression. She probably was a part of this house church as well. And we also know of a guy by the name of Epaphroditus, who he mentions in Philippians 2 that he thanks them for sending him to him. And that in Philippians 4, he says, he brought me gifts. So we know some characters or some people that are a part of this Philippian church. And that's what Paul is choosing to focus on, is the people that God has called. It's the people that God is working on. And it's the people that are partners in the gospel that are declaring the name of Jesus Christ. Paul is choosing to be grateful for them. Imagine that, if we're in a situation or a circumstance and we have a choice where we can either choose to be upset, we can choose to focus on our situation or circumstance, or what we can start doing is saying, Lord, I'm gonna put my eyes and my attention on you, what you're doing and the people you've brought. Maybe it's a doctor or a nurse. Maybe you're in the hospital and maybe the prognosis is not good, but you now have the attention of somebody coming to check on you by the hour, every hour. Praise God for that person. Maybe it's a situation at work that is now you're having to deal with some folks that they don't think like you. They don't agree with you. They're making things difficult. Praise God, because now God has put you into a close proximity with them that you can influence them to be a partner of the gospel with you. See, Paul is choosing to see this as a partnership. I'm over here in Rome in chains. You're there doing the work of God. I praise God for you. I'm choosing to be grateful for you and what God is doing. Never once has he said, woe is me. See, being grateful, having gratitude is a choice. See, I'm kind of preaching to myself right now. Because sometimes when I get in a situation that's difficult or challenging, it's easier just to pout. It's easier just to complain. But what I see Paul doing here, and this really ministers to me, is how often do we say, Lord, I'm not going to focus on all that. God, I'm going to choose to focus on you. I'm going to choose your joy, your outcome, your eternal reality in my life, not what this situation is. You know, my son this week, he told me that he had been having some trouble with a guy that had been kind of bullying him. And, you know, as a dad, you just want to go get in the car and go beat up some kid, but you can't. But I knew I had been preparing this message, and it, you know, the Lord, sometimes he, as I'm getting into the word, God will bring situations and circumstances where it's like the Lord has already prepared me to help Jonah, right? Or prepared me, and I told Jonah, I said, Jonah, you know what we need to do? We need to start praying for him. We need to start really thanking God that God has given us this outlet of prayer. We need to start praying for that person. And man, by the time he and I were done talking, I could see the sense of relief that had come on his shoulders. I could see that he physically felt better because he was choosing God over the situation. And how many times are we faced like that? It may not be a big bully on the playground, but it might be in the form of a boss. It might be in the form of a family member. It might be the form of a spouse. You know, some of those that are closest to us know how to really push our buttons. And I told Jonah, I said, you do have the choice of how you react to him. You do have the choice, Jonah, of if you're going to pray for him or not. Jonah, you do have the choice if you're going to be grateful that God, in his infinite wisdom, sent his son Jesus Christ for you, and you have him living right here, and you can exercise that as a child of God to pray for this person. And I could see that choice that Jonah was doing, the choice he was making, gave him a sense of relief. So not only can we have gratitude in all situations and circumstances, but it's up to us to choose to have gratitude in every situation and circumstance. The next thing is, I understand it, and I can see it here in verse 6, is gratitude is found in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. Let me explain. Take a look at verse 6. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to the completion at that day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me, verse 7, to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense of confirmation of the gospel. This is the first time he's seven verses in that he actually even mentions imprisonment. And it's just that he's calling them as partners with him in prison. He's actually complimenting the Philippians as he even mentions imprisonment. And in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel. Verse 8, for God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. See, I love this verse 6. I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work is going to complete it. So whenever we find ourselves in some sort of difficult situation or circumstance, we can trust knowing that God started the work. God's going to finish the work. See, Paul is telling them, you have confidence in Jesus Christ. Man, Paul above anyone knows that, hey, I was on a road to Damascus and Jesus showed up. So no matter what they do to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Because I have Jesus Christ before me, I am focused on him. And let me tell you something, no matter the situation or circumstance, as long as I keep my eyes on Jesus, everything is going to be okay. See, gratitude is found in Jesus Christ. When we put our hope and our focus on him, we know that he started the work in us, he's going to complete the work in us. Paul is reminding them that God has started it and that he will complete it. But you know, I love this in verse 7. He says, you guys are partakers with me in grace. What he's really telling them is, guys, we're on the same team. Guys, we are on the same team. You're struggling for Jesus over there in different situations. I'm struggling for Jesus over here. But guess what? Our hope, our goal, our focus is Jesus. We're on the same team. Have you ever been to like a Rockets game, Astros game? Is it too soon to mention them? Well, I'm looking at all y'all right now. Y'all must all be Dallas Cowboy fans because the true fans are at home. Houston Texans fans. I'm going to call every one of them. But, you know, I love going to a game in Houston. And what I love about that is because we're all wearing our Astros gear, our Rockets gear, our Texans gear. And you know what I love about it? Is I see people from every walk of life, but they've got that R or that star with the H or the bull logo. And we're unified with one purpose and one goal. We want this team to win. And I look and I see people, they don't look like me. They've got different skin tones than me. They think different than me. They probably vote different than me. They probably do toilet paper on the underside when I'd prefer to do it on the overside. Right? Everybody's different. But when we're at the Rockets game, when we're at the Astros game or the Texans game, we are all there with one purpose. And none of that matters. I one time went to a playoff game. And we were down and James Harden did what James Harden normally does and we ended up winning the game. And I met more people around me in those seats. I was hugging people I had never even known. I didn't even know their first name. And I was giving them a big old hug because we were on the same team and our team won. And what I love about that is that's what Paul's saying here is you guys are partners in this gospel. You're partakers of the same grace. And we need to remember that guys, we're on that team. We're on Paul's team. We're on Jesus's team. And it's in Jesus that we have the joy. It's in Jesus that we can be grateful for. And that's what I love here. He's talking to Lydia. He's talking to the jailer. He's talking to Epaphroditus, however you say his name, and the demonic girl. Hey, guys, we're on the same team. And gratitude is found in Jesus. And he's reminding them, he's encouraging them that, hey, no matter where you're at, the work that he started is the work that he'll finish. We can have gratitude in all situations and circumstances. We choose it, and it starts and ends with Jesus Christ. And the last point is this, and I want to take a look, verse 9 through 11, is when you choose to give God glory, when you have gratitude, even in the middle of a difficult situation or circumstance, it brings glory to the Lord.
Take a look at this, verse 9. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. You know, I have such a hard time reading this, understanding that he is going to be praying blessings over this church, knowing that as he's writing this letter, are the chains pulling on his skin? Is he hungry right now? When's the last time that he was able to get a bath? See, his situation and circumstance would dictate that he shouldn't be able to be thinking about other people. He shouldn't be able, certainly, to be blessing other people. But he says, this is my prayer that your love, they already had love. Epaphroditus is already bringing him gifts, and they've been loving on him from afar. And he's saying, hey, this love that you already have, I pray that it even increases. So in this situation and circumstances, he's putting others above himself. You know, Jesus was an others above himself kind of guy. So when we choose gratitude, when we choose to focus on Christ and we put others above ourselves, what we're seeing here is it brings glory to God. So that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I'm telling you, this guy, Paul, he's something else. He's praying that their love would be actionable. They wouldn't just be known as Christians. They would be Christians indeed. They would be Christians in their actions. You know, I see all of this, that gratitude is not circumstantial, but gratitude is consequential. Somebody write that down. Think about that. My circumstances do not dictate my gratitude. Gratitude is a consequence of having my focus on Jesus Christ. It's a byproduct of having the right perspective, understanding correctly what God is doing. You know, this week, I got a call on Friday night from Andy Beam. And he told me that his mom, Carol Holmes, did I say that right? That she had received a diagnosis of cancer. And it was a very unique form, something rare, and that, well, it completely caught him by surprise. And we began talking, and he was telling me that he had actually sent his wife to Montana, where his mom is and where his dad is and his sister, because his mom had not been feeling well before they found out. And so literally when she got on the ground in Montana, when their plan landed, not too long did the doctors give them the news. And you know what? Andy and I started talking, and we said, man, think about that. God knew about this long before you did, and he already made arrangements that Lisa would be on the ground in Montana when they got the news. And he started telling me about his parents' relationship to his wife. See, Lisa with her in-laws, she had a time when Andy was in the Navy, she lived with them. And she got to get really close with them. And he was really worried that at a particular time, that when the dad was going to receive the news, that he might not take it very well. But the Lord saw fit to send Lisa ahead of time, somebody that already had a close relationship. And you know what we started doing? Andy and I started thinking, man, God is so good. God is so good. Yes, this is a difficult thing that we've heard from the doctors. This is, Andy's now having to function. He's really, Andy's leading the family, and he's trying to make sure to protect the kids and help mom and the situation with the insurance company and getting them accepted to MD Anderson to get, all of that's going around. And what Andy chose to do was focus on, man, you know what? God has already provided. He started choosing to be grateful that even though the situation was nasty, God was already at work. And he took his eyes off of the situation and circumstance, started putting them on God. And we had a time of prayer. And let me tell you,
I was so grateful that Carol Holmes, even when she was there, her pastor had already come. And we started saying, man, her pastor showed up and people from her church. So your mom knows the Lord? He's like, oh yeah, she knows the Lord. Man, praise God, because we have a crutch. We can lean on Jesus Christ. We're not going to lean on the circumstance. We're not going to lean on what the doctors say. We're going to put our trust and our faith in Jesus. And we started celebrating that God is good. And God's already provided when we didn't even know what was happening. And by the end of our time of prayer, by the end of the time, it wasn't but maybe 30 minutes later, we had prayed that the insurance would get approved, that MD Anderson would accept her. Andy sent a text and said, praise the Lord, MD Anderson has accepted my mom. See, let me tell you something. When you put your attention and your focus on God, it gives God the glory. There's going to be times when we're in difficult situations. There's going to be times we're persecuted for our faith. And there's just times when we live in a broken and a nasty world that we're just going to be hurt sometimes. But you can have joy and have gratitude in all circumstances. And let me tell you, it's your choice to choose it. And it starts and it ends with Jesus. And when we put our eyes and our attention on Jesus, it gives God all the glory. Let me tell you, I don't want a glory in my circumstance. I don't want it to steal God's glory. I'm going to give the glory to God, and I can do that by being thankful that he loves me, he cares for me, and he has already worked through this situation for me. Because he who began a good work will bring it to completion. I don't know about you, but I needed to hear this message this morning. You know, sometimes things just don't go well. See, we do have a lot to be thankful for, but sometimes the pace and the pressure of life often squeeze the joy out of us. Our shoulders are slumped and our heads are bowed. Sometimes days, sometimes months, sometimes years are just difficult to get through. Desperate, we often search for joy or gratitude in other things. Like possessions, or we want to visit places, or in relationships with other people. We look that for what God can provide for us, we look in other things, material things, sometimes in liquids, sometimes in drugs. But none of these are lasting, and they're counterfeit. Only in Jesus Christ can we find that joy. And in any situation and circumstance, we have access to that God. We have access to Jesus, and he can clean. Man, let me tell you, when we put our attention on Jesus, everything else pales in comparison to him. God is good. You know, you might be like Miss Holmes right now. You've received a news from the doctor. But let me tell you, that doesn't define you. Your gratitude and your joy are not based on your circumstance. But when we focus on Jesus, he can turn those tears to joy. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.